in a dim saloon. Anytime before noon, there's an empty chair, 'cause somebody cares for me. I find myself in church. I don't come in here much, but I'm saying a prayer, 'cause somebody cares for me.
Earlier this week at the Grammy Museum in Los Angeles, Nick Lowe reflected on his career of over four decades as a performer, songwriter, and producer. He was the first artist signed by Stiff Records, a UK-based record label that brought England's brand of punk rock to America. In 1979, he released Labor of Lust, which included the hit Cruel to Be Kind. And over the years, Mr. Lowe has released 12 of his own studio albums, also produced records for Elvis Costello, The Pretenders, The Damned, and Johnny Cash. His latest CD, The Old Magic, will be released next month, followed by a North American tour with Wilco. And I'm pleased to welcome Nick Lowe, whom Rolling Stone magazine has called one of the sharpest lyricists in rock music, back to our studios today. Welcome back.
That's kind of you. Thank you very much. It's very nice to be here.
A few years ago, The Village Voice wrote that you were enjoying a second coming. Don't you have to leave to come back again?
Well, in a way, I think I did. You know, I was described my going through my career going through a period where I describe as my pop star time, which I thoroughly enjoyed. It was very good fun, but it was very taxing. And when that time came to an end, which it always does, unless you're an unusual artist like Elton John or Cher are the two examples I always think of, who seem to, you know, whose careers just seem to span the decades. Most people, you know, just have a couple of years and then it's all over. But when it came to an end, I thought I hadn't really sort of done anything. And so I had to figure out how to carry on. You know?
So in 1998, we have, beginning with Dig Me My Mood, something a little different. But you also seem to be aging more gracefully than many pop stars. You're not dyeing your hair. You're not.
What makes you think that's the case? No, I'm not. You're quite right.
You look your age, that's obviously a decision that you've made.
Well, indeed, yes. That's sort of it, really. I decided I had to figure out a way of using the fact I was aging in a business which doesn't. Well, things have changed now. It's quite common to have people in their 60s and even 70s doing very good work.
But Paul McCartney is dyeing his hair, I think.
He is, yes. They're doing very good work with the hair dyeing, yes. but very good work artistically, I mean. But back in the 80s, it was unusual for people to have a career that went much over 40. In fact,
we were told not to trust anyone over 40.
That's true.
You also became a father in the past few years. Has that experience affected your songwriting?
I don't think it has, really. No, I'm not really an autobiographical songwriter. I think of myself much more of a hack, you know, a tunesmith hack. I just make up stuff.
Something just occurs to you, a phrase, and...
Yes.
And that leads to a lyric, or does it lead to a melody first and then a lyric?
It's a very curious process, which I the older I get, the less I seem to know how it works. But if it, in a way, you hear a phrase, something triggers you, and you kind of hear the finished thing in your head, and you just have to sort of grope at it until you tease it out.
Is that what happened with the songs in your new record, The Old Magic?
Yes, in most cases, yeah.
You've included a number of ballads on this record, Stoplight Roses, I Read a Lot. Is that the type of song you feel most comfortable writing these days?
Not really. Certainly, with increasing age, you want to kind of sing the blues more because it cheers you up. Uh-huh. But it's tougher to sing really sort of chirpy songs. But if you mean the more sort of sophisticated material, not necessarily. No, I still like rock and roll and skiffle music. You know.
So what kind of song are you singing for us now? A blues or something a little chirpy?
I'll do the song that you just mentioned, Stoplight Roses. You've practiced and rehearsed it, but in your heart you know it's too late.
Experience should tell you, never get your story too straight. You'd better steel yourself and prepare for some blues to descend. 'Cause you've broken something this time, stoplight roses can't mend. You've dusted off your shame face in the mirror behind the bathroom door. That little boy lost look that used to work so well doesn't anymore. If you believe your same old used to be, we'll see you through. You'll last about as long as stoplight roses do. Stoplight roses in their sad array. Love's promise in cellophane lace or dead giveaway. You'll need time to devise a stylish plan, and you'll do it driving over to the stoplight roses man. And if you believe your same old used to be, we'll see you through. You'll last about as long as stoplight roses do.
Nick Lowe singing Stoplight Roses, which is one of the songs on his new CD called The Old Magic, being released on Yip Rock Records. You sung it with the acoustic guitar. When you began, did you play acoustic? Because you were working with Stiff Records, which was the home of punk rock.
Well, it sort of predated punk rock in a way, but it was certainly a collection of misfits, you know, who were the the first stirrings of that constituted the first stirrings of that sort of business, certainly in London.
You couldn't have written such sophisticated lyrics in those days.
No, that wasn't the style. But I always sort of liked that stuff. You know, there's a lot of what they called sort of guilty pleasures. You know, that one has that you sort of stifle. You know, and when you're older, you don't care about that anymore.
So you can put in words like cellophane or whatever you, yes. you feel like, and make it work.
Yes, yes. Well, I always liked sort of Broadway. I liked a lot of Broadway tunes, you know, show tunes. And that sort of songwriting.
So, what was it like touring with the Stiff artists in 1976, in the heyday of punk rock? People like the Sex Pistols.
It was quite noisy.
Did you feel like a bit of an outsider, or were you happy to be part of it?
No, I wasn't really an outsider at all. I was sort of generally in the sort of middle of it. But it was very good fun. I was never crazy about that music, I must say. The punk rock music, I never really liked it much. But I really liked the sort of mischief that was made.
Well,
didn't
Grill Marcus once say that the Sex Pistols represented the most important musical development since Bach? So some
poor Grail.
How did you meet Elvis Costello?
He was a fan of a band I was in called Brinsley Schwartz, which predated the Stiff days. Mm-hmm. And he used to come and see us play, especially when we were played in the north of England. And he was very distinctive looking, you know, so we noticed him. And one time we were playing at the Cavern Club, the famous Cavern Club in Liverpool, and we were having a drink in the pub across the road, both of which have been knocked down, by the way. Brilliant choice of Liverpool Council to do that. and he came into the pub, and I approached him. I thought, it's time I bought him a drink, and that's how I met him.
And you wound up producing how many of his albums?
Five or six. I can't remember exactly how many now.
The aggression that he brings to What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding makes it almost a completely different song than the way you've approached it. Was this a conscious decision, or just how Elvis interpreted the song?
Well, he always liked that. That was a Brinsley song, Brinsley Schwartz song. And when the group split up, that should have been the end of the song. The song should have gone away with it. But he always liked that song. And one day, in one of the sessions we were doing, said, why don't we record it? And it was he who sort of brought that kind of eye-popping sort of anthemic quality to it, which, struck a chord with so many people. I owe it all to him, really.
Well, you're going to sing it now, or you're going to sing it the way you did with Brinsley Schwartz, or you're going to sing it influenced a bit by how...
My eyes haven't popped for quite a long time, Leonard.
Should I be pronouncing his name Costello?
No, it's Costello.
Yeah, well, in Ireland it would be Costello.
I think it would.
I've always said Costello, and I wondered whether he thought, well, gee, these Yanks, they just ruin our names.
No, I don't think so. So you want me to do Peace, Love? Yeah, sure.
As I walk this wicked world, searching for light in the darkness of insanity, I ask myself, is all hope lost? Is there only pain, hatred, and misery? And each time I feel like this inside, there's one thing I want to know. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? And as I walk on through troubled times, my spirit gets so downhearted sometimes. Where are the strong? And just who are the trusted? And where is the harmony? And each time I feel it slipping away, it just makes me want to cry. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Strong, and who are the trusted, and where is the harmony, sweet harmony? 'Cause each time I feel it slipping away, it just makes me wanna cry. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Understanding, brother. brother. Understanding, sister. Understanding.
Nick Lowe singing, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. That's just one of the number of songs that you wrote that other people have recorded. Are you surprised when you hear the way other people approach some of your songs?
Yes. That's how I like it, really, if to be surprised by how they approach it. Unfortunately, although, you know, I don't want to bite the hand that feeds me, because it's very nice work if you can get it, but sometimes people do a all too faithful kind of rendition of one's own own version of it. I really like it when people take the thing really elsewhere.
In the old days, it used to be the way around. Irving Berlin would get upset by the Drifters' version of White Christmas. Now it's actually the way you would prefer things to be done.
Yeah.
Have you written songs for other people?
I have, yes. Let me think. Well, you mean actually custom-built
yeah.
them? Yeah.
For yes, example, when you were married to Carlene Carter.
Oh, I wrote... yes, I wrote a couple of things for her. I don't think they were very successful. I wrote some songs for a fellow called Paul Carrack, who is probably better known in the UK than here, and Solomon Burke. I did one for him on his Don't Give Up On Me record. Johnny Cash, I wrote for a song for him called The Beast In Me. Which
he was your... father-in-law, stepfather-in-law.
Yeah, yeah, he was, yeah.
And you wound up actually producing that record?
What, Johnny's?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. No, that was Rick Rubin produced that. I wrote the song.
Oh, over the years, the last few years, Columbia Records has re-released Jesus of Cool. Was that your first album?
It's my first solo album, yes.
And that was released in this country as Pure Pop for the Now People. Was Jesus of Cool considered a little too risque or dangerous?
It seems amazing now, doesn't it? Yes, it was a gentler, kinder time when when things like that would offend.
Do you ever wonder why influential albums fall out of print?
Well, because they're no good, I suppose. You know,
well, it had Cruel to Be Kind. That's...
Oh, that one. Well, of course, it was a brilliant album, I'm sure. It was just an oversight. I don't know. I don't know much about the machinations of the pop business, really.
You also were in Rockpile with Dave Edmunds.
Yeah.
And that band was pretty influential.
Yes, it surprisingly so. In fact, I'm probably only sitting here talking to you, really, because of Rockpile. We were really amazingly popular in this country.
Why does a band like that break up?
Well, I think because it suddenly looked as if we could actually make it, and we'd formed really just to have fun. And the curious thing was that the fact that we took it so lightly and took it so unseriously was the reason that why people liked it so much. But also it meant that we didn't really do any work, you know, to move our career along. And then suddenly it seemed as if we were going to do it whether we liked it or not. And I think suddenly it was almost as if we woke up, you know, and said, oh, no, it's not for us, and walked away from it.
Well, people usually assume that bands break up because of clashes of egos.
Well, yes, there is a. It's very tough to stay locked up with each other, you know, on a road when you get very, when you're usually very tired, and probably a bit drunk, you know, as well. Which we all know how that works. It's very hard to stay friendly with each other all the time. It would be the same in any walk of life, really.
Then there was
submarine crew, you know.
Yeah, sports teams.
Yes.
There was also Little Village with John Hiatt. How did that come about?
Well, Hiatt, who I'd known for quite a long time, called me one day and said that he wanted to make a record. He'd been out of circulation for quite a while, and he wanted to make a record. And he had a studio for 4 days, and he had Ry Cooder and Jim Keltner.
This is an all-star band.
Yes. I don't know what I was doing in it. But anyway, he called me up, and... And I went over and did the record with him. It was a really great record because the songs were very good and we only had 4 days to do it. And later on, Warner Brothers gave us a lot of money and sort of unlimited studio time to do a record together. And that really wasn't artistically as successful because we had too much time to think about it, I think.
And a lot of people think, for example, actors will tell me that they get upset if they have to do too many takes because usually the first or second take is the best.
Yeah, that's I generally think that. But then Elvis Presley, you know, did something like 90 takes of You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog, you know, and it's a fantastic record, so...
I guess he didn't get as bored as I might have gotten.
Well, exactly, and they used take two, you know, in the end. But he certainly was prepared to, you know, work hard at it.
So tell us a bit about the new CD, The Old Magic. Who's on it with you?
Well, it's the same fellows as that I always play with. You know, sometimes I think, well, maybe I should be going to, use some Tuareg tribesmen or something like that, or put something else in the mix, you know. But these guys are, well, there are better players around, you know, but they've got, they're really great musicians. Their attitude is really fantastic, and they know a little bit about tons of music, and that's really what I like to do. Put, you know, I don't just want to do a certain style of music. I like putting all different things in the mix.
And you'll be touring with them when you go off with Wilco?
Oh yes, definitely. Wouldn't. Oh no, not with Wilco. I'm doing that on my own.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are you going to sing for us now? We have time for one more song.
I'll do one more from the new record, mm-hmm. if that's all right. Then I'll do this song. I'm a Sensitive Man. It's called. You can believe that if you like. Lately when I go to steal a kiss, I feel you pulling away. I know something is amiss, but what it is you won't say. If I've done something to upset you, believe me, that was never my plan. But how can I fix it standing out here in the cold? I'm a sensitive man. You don't even have to speak, you can say it with a look. Even across a crowded room, darling, I can read it like a book. But other times when there's something on your mind, make it as plain as you can. Don't freeze me, baby, I'm no dinky-doo, I'm a sensitive man. I'm a sensitive man. You can hear that in my song. I'm a sensitive man. My first impressions could steer you wrong. Bop, 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 ba da da. Bop, ba da da. Bop, 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 ba da 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 da. Ba-dum-ba. Sincerely, my one desire is to make you happy again. But I can't begin till you let me back in. I'm a sensitive man. I'm a sensitive man. You can hear that in my song. I'm a sensitive man. First impressions might well steer you wrong. Sensitive man out in the cold, trying to do good, but so misunderstood. Sensitive man.
Nick Lowe, playing and singing, I'm a Sensitive Man, one of the songs featured on his new CD, The Old Magic. Are you from Liverpool?
No. Do I sound? Or do you
a
think?
Little Liverpoolian, and you did start your career there.
Well, I don't know who told you that. And there might have been a bit of Duff Jen you got there. But my father was in the military, and so I grew up wherever he was stationed, you know, in the Middle East and so on.
And did they encourage you to be a musician?
Encourage is probably pushing it a bit. My mother was quite a good musician. She taught me how to play a few chords, and she was also a pretty good singer. I used to sing with her, harmony stuff. But it encouraged me to actually go into the music business. Not really, no. But I just got bitten by the bug. I tried to do a proper job, but I wasn't really very cut out for it. So off I went.
And the rest is history, as they say. Yeah. And I want to thank you so much for being on our show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Always great talking with you. And we're going to go out with one of the other tracks from your new CD called The Old Man on Yep Rock Records. Whose label is Yep Rock?
Mr. Glenn Dicker's label from North Carolina.
And the album is called The Old Magic. Thank you so much for being with us, Nick Lowe.
Thank you.
Cracking up, I'm getting ready to go. Had enough, I can't take any more. No pills that I can take. This is too real, and there ain't no escape. It scared the daylights, it'd make a nightmare. I'm tense and I'm nervous. Everybody all around me shaking hands and saying howdy. I don't think it's funny no more. Cracking up like a worn out shoe. Ain't wet, but the world leaking through. I'd run, but I find no pace. I laugh, but it's wrecking me, wrecking me. It make a shiver, it make a shake. Make a monster just like an earthquake.